I'll ask you, if you will, turn on the back of your bulletin to see the scripture for today from the 10th chapter of John, the book of the Apostle John. And I seem to have lost my left contact lens, so I may have a little difficulty today. I see you. I don't know what's happened to it. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And may the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and to our hearing of it. Now, I'd say this as a reminder, but I really don't think you need reminding. Then again, maybe. And this will be news to Muriel. Because I started this series of messages on the first Sunday of October and didn't get to the second Sunday, a second message in the series, until last Sunday, November 2nd. These messages, this series of them, are on the great proclamation of Jesus to identify with the Heavenly Father, the great I Am. The first message, first sermon, the one on October 5th, which was our quarterly communion Sunday, was I Am the Bread of Life. While it was natural because of the bread of the Lord's Supper, that Sunday's message interrupted the series I had been preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. That from Galatians 5. And so I finished out that first series, that fruit series, with the last three Sundays of October, and returned to this four Sunday series of messages on the great I Am. I returned to that last Sunday, being the second message, I am the light of the world. Well, I had to review all of that to catch myself up. I hope it helped you catch up too. This then is the third I am. Another of the metaphors Messiah Jesus employed in revealing himself to his disciples. He said, "I am the door." Or more precisely, in this version of Scripture, the NIV, it's been translated, "I am the gate." Now, at the outset here, I've chosen to use the word door, which is used in the King James Version, rather than the NIV word gate, because we today identify with the concept of a door as the entrance to where we stay, the entrance to our abode, us being people and all, rather than gate. But just be assured, both words carry the same meaning for today, but I'll be more likely to use the word door. Figures of speech, types, symbols, metaphors, And similes have always been instilled in the minds of inspired writers by God. And then they put these illustrative word pictures into the sacred scripture. Of such is the word door or gate, as Jesus used it to illustrate one of the very meaningful values of himself, the entrance way by which we enter into salvation. Oh, and as another reminder, and I'm hoping you clearly remember this from last week and perhaps from the sermon of October 5th, Jesus used the specific identification, I am, as a very clearly identifiable melding together of his identity with God the Father, reminding the Jewish scholars who, with their Old Testament knowledge, would be familiar with Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Thus, when Jesus applied the prefix I am to himself, he was claiming to have the same name God first gave to Moses as the same identity of himself. They, the Jewish leaders, just didn't get it, or they chose not to. Well, now, to get to this Jesus illustration or metaphor of the door, let's look at several things. For context, he spoke of the protective place of the sheep. The language of Jesus was, of course, much more meaningful to the people of Palestine of that day than it is to those of us who don't live in sheep country today. But we, who aren't sheep herders, can read about how it was back then, and doing so, we find out that several flocks of sheep were brought into the sheepfold. The sheepfold being a realm of guarded safety and security from outside influences and from dangers. For the sheepfold, there was a single gate by which the enclosure was opened for the sheep to enter in and then shut up for the night when dangers lurked most abundantly. Each one of the separate flocks that was brought in had its own shepherd. So each shepherd would bring his sheep in, they would come for the night, and they would know they would be safe and secure until he came to call for them the next morning. Usually there was one common gatekeeper over all the flocks through the night, just as there was only one gate to enter in. The sheepfold or the pen was thus a stronghold to give safety and to guard the sheep against many adversaries. And so as we develop this scenario, let your mind begin to reflect on your own gratitude that as the Good Shepherd has brought you into the sheepfold of his care through his door, you rest in the safety of the great salvation of God, no longer to fear the slings and arrows of the misfortunes of unforgiven sin and the wiles of the great adversary, Satan. Because there are indeed predators of the sheep. Predators such as lions and wolves and jackals and other wild animals of old Palestine were always after the sheep. But then there were also the human thieves and robbers. Jesus spoke of the destructiveness of thieves, harmful to many, but also to whom he called the helpless sheep. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Verse 10 of our text. That final verse drawing the radical difference between the thief and the Savior. And if you look at your bulletin, you will see also, as I mentioned last week, Darwin has once again given us help on the inside. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the thief. And then the radical difference. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, there's a fascinating representation that Jesus threw at the Pharisees, and then through his inspired word, has handed to us for our understanding. So follow me here just for a moment. In the spiritual realm, there were those who set themselves up above Jesus. That is, those who claimed to have spiritual priority above Jesus. Just so, Jesus was speaking here to them, to the holier-than-thou Pharisees. Verse 1 of our text, John 10:1. He said, "You Pharisees." Now, it's been suggested that these Pharisees had contrived with all of their rules to make the simple way of salvation so difficult that Jesus right here was suggesting that they were the ones who would climb in by another way. And thus, these were those that they actually were. He said, "I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Jesus appears to be saying to them that instead of using the door, using the gate of the sheepfold, they preferred to use their own ecclesiastical ladders and their own religious inventions to try to climb in. To me, that's very likely the most apt interpretation of that idea of climbing in by some other way. If it is, then I think we can rest assured that there are still those among us who falsely believe and falsely teach that there are other ways to climb in, to enter God's sheepfold, other than by the one way of Jesus, the only true door. Modern-day Pharisees, such as they were back then, such now are the thieves and robbers who will mislead and damage and destroy. But the absolute truth is, there is only one gate, only one door. Jesus declared that He is the door. "I am," He said. When I go all the way back to the first major image of the salvation of human life, Noah's Ark. The Ark only had one door. And a famous old Baptist preacher, Dr. George W. Truett, was fond of saying that the big elephant and the little ant both entered through the same door. He would then remind his congregation that the businessman and the child must both, and each on his own, come into the kingdom through the same door. It's the same door for everyone. This singularity, this exclusiveness, this monopoly, all of these were packed succinctly into the statement of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. Well, actually, that's the heart of next week's sermon. But the "through me" suggests a door, does it not? Amen. The great disciple Peter obviously heard that clearly as Jesus spoke that night, John 14, at the table in the upper room. Peter presented that truth to the Sanhedrin when he and John were brought before them in Acts 4, declaring, "Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Acts 4:12. There is no more fatal heresy than any kind of teaching that says Jesus is just an optional way of salvation, and there are other options, other doors by which you may enter into heaven. Well, some call that exclusive. I call that exclusive. But I'm not the one that said it. Jesus is the one that said it. And I choose to believe Jesus. Well, then there's the doorkeeper. It is not at all inappropriate to suggest that the caretaker, the doorkeeper, standing beside the door to help open it, well, no, not it, but Him, Jesus, the door, is the Holy Spirit, It is he who now makes the door evident and available. It is he who points to the door. He is the divine usher who attends the door. And just as he opens the door, he also closes the door upon your entrance. For those who enter the enclosure, the Holy Spirit guarantees safety. Ephesians 4:30 is one of those verses speaking to the securing work of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And without the attraction and the inviting of the Holy Spirit to the door, you may not enter for salvation and life. And please remember, Jesus himself warned that there is an offense against the Holy Spirit that so grieves God that God closes the door. Luke 12:10. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So now here's the promise of the door. Take your bulletin, if you will, and look at the text on your bulletin of specifically verse 9. Verse 9 contains several aspects of the great promise given to us by Jesus. First of all, the promise is universal. Whoever, see it there? Whoever is the provision of that wide open invitation. It's for everyone, the promise is. The promise is certain and it's sure. Whoever will be saved is the blessed assurance. The promise is for liberty. They will come in and go out. That's the scope of the freedom of the saved. And the promise is for nourishing sustenance. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Find pasture is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit of eternal food. The Christian is alive and moving and going and coming, always nurtured and strengthened by the pasture, the lush grazing place of God. Now, conditions. Well, there's only one. The blessing of the door, the gate of entrance, is received on one condition. And that one condition is whoever enters through me. The door is there. You must enter, but only through him. Now, doors are not primarily for decoration, although some are very appealing. I was looking at some doors in Italian homes on the internet yesterday. Extremely ornate decoration, but primarily just to be used as a mode of entrance. The primary purpose of a door is not to bear a nameplate or house numbers. Well, those help with some other needs, but are not the primary purpose of the door upon which they're displayed. Doors are for one purpose, entrance and exit, to go through from one side to the other. Those who were saved from the flood of Noah's day were those who entered in to the ark. In Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, who were to meet the bridegroom to usher him in for the wedding banquet. The 5 foolish ones were unprepared and had to leave and were gone when the bridegroom arrived. But the 5 wise ones, Scripture tells us, who were ready, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Those who partook of the marriage feast were those who were ready to enter in the door while it was open. Incidentally, the story being presented in children's church this morning just happened to be this parable of the 10 virgins and their ready and not ready lamps. Just worked out that way. Now, this is the human side of salvation. It involves will and choice and action. You see, we will never satisfy our hunger by simply admiring bread. We must eat it. We're not cured by just examining and analyzing medicine. We take it. And so it is with a door, with the door. Unless we enter in, it becomes only another blockade, much like the walls on either side of it. What then shall we conclude from these examinations of Christ's self-image, his metaphor, I am the door? Well, first of all, know the Pharisees around us. Don't be overcome by spiritual pretenders who want to tell us we can climb in some other way. They are revealed by Jesus as thieves and robbers that plague our way. And we are to know once and for all that Jesus is the only door, the only entrance to eternal life in heaven. He is the entrance not only to that great salvation, but also is the exit from the perils of life. In addition, we cannot afford to ignore the courteous and caring and personal work of the Holy Spirit as he presides at the threshold of the door. Jesus urges, and as his servant shepherd, I too urge that we all, each and every one of us, claim the promise we find in verse 9 this morning. Jesus says, I am the door, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pastures. It's a universal promise. It's a certain and sure promise. It's a liberating promise, and it's a nourishing and sustaining promise. So let us be wise and not foolish, and act now. The Holy Spirit stands by the door, beckoning and swinging the door wide open. His invitation? Enter into the joys of salvation through Jesus the Christ. Enter through the door today. Amen.